Welcome everyone to our model Seder 5778. We're doing what we've been doing for the last decade, almost decade and a half now, which is a little bit before Pesach, before the end of our semester. We come together tonight, and our goal is to accomplish four things. Okay, number one is to learn the preps for the Seder, which is what you guys are doing right now, and we will start explaining what we're doing. Number two is to learn the laws of the Seder. Number three is to experience the Seder. And finally, number four is to learn the songs of the Seder, the tunes. So we have a huge goal ahead of us tonight. Be'ezrat Hashem, most years we accomplish most of those goals. It's up to your energy level. If we will hold out from my end, I don't have to go to sleep tonight. Meaning it's fine by me if we go till 4 or 5 in the morning. That is perfect. I came here to learn Torah and sing with you. And if you're up to it, we will do it. As long as we all have koach. Hashem should give us all health and koach.
You're in trouble for doing it?
What?
You're in trouble for doing it for staying up too late?
I won't tell if you won't tell. Now let's begin understanding what we're doing in our preps for the Seder. We have an overview of the Seder. We know that there are all kinds of preparations before I come to Pesach. Like, I get rid of all my chametz, right? I make sure I go to the local Orthodox rabbi. I appoint him as a messenger to sell my chametz to a non-Jew. If I don't get to do that, I go on the Chabad website. I appoint them as my messengers to sell my chametz to a non-Jew. Any chametz or chametz vessels I have at home, I lock up, so I won't come to use them. The night before the Seder, I do bedikas chametz, I check my house, I light a candle, I turn on all the lights, I take a flashlight, I check everywhere, I make sure there's no more chametz left anywhere, right? We make a blessing over that. After we finish the check, we say, kol chamira v'chamia, any chametz or any leaven that's in my possession, if I didn't find it, I want it to be annulled, I want it to be not mine anymore, okay? And then we have our final chametz meal in the morning before Pesach. We go and burn whatever leftover chametz we have in the house, and then we start getting ready for the Seder. So you should have bought matzah already. You should have bought wine and grape juice already. What else do you need for the Seder? So you need, we're going to eat roasted meat as the Paschal offering, but this year we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. So no roasted meat, okay? On the night of the Seder, we don't eat roasted meat because we don't want to get confused that maybe we're bringing a Paschal offering without a Beit HaMikdash. So we don't eat roast. However, we do prepare good meat, we do prepare good meals for the Seder night. The problem is we're not going to get to most of it, because the way the Seder runs is we are going to have so many mitzvot to take care of on the night of the Seder that by the time we get to the meal, you don't always have that much to eat or that much appetite, etc. Amazing. Wow. Thank you very much.
You could have just said something. I have like $2 for these upstairs.
I could say something. Okay, let's move on. So, what do we do at the Seder? I want to make a quick overview so we also understand our preparations, okay? So, we have a song that outlines what we're going to do at the Seder, and it goes like this. Kadesh urchatz karpas yachatz magid rachza motzi matza. Malokorech shulchan orech tzafun barech halel nirtza. So let's understand what we just said. Who does not have a Haggadah? I have extra Haggadot to give out. I'll bring in a pile. That way everyone should have. And you'll also see it's a translated Haggadah. Just one second.
I found this extra one in case someone wants to use it too.
This is on Wednesday, right? Give me like the library. Everyone's taking the library.
They give me the office.
Okay. Many stores give out these free Haggadot. Different years, you can get different quality ones at different stores. There's the famous Maxwell House Haggadah that Pathmark used to give out and ShopRite used to give out in America. Here in Israel, you see Zaks, the electric company, gave out one. There was one year that Osherad gave out free Haggadot. You might want to find out, because sometimes they're really nice, the Haggadot that they give out. Okay, these I bought at a secondhand store for a shekel or 2 shekels a piece. I need them. We use them every year. Those of you who don't have your own Haggadah, here you have a translated Haggadah. So we will quickly look at page 3, the order of what we're doing tonight. Kadesh. Okay, so that's number 1. We're going to make Kiddush, so we definitely need wine and grape juice. We will drink how many cups tonight?
Four.
Okay. If you drink wine, then most people don't make it through the night and they don't enjoy the end of the Seder. My recommendation is if you're going to drink wine, dilute it heavily with grape juice or drink grape juice. Urchatz. You're looking on page 3. Urchatz. We will wash our hands. Okay? Why are we washing our hands? Because the next thing we're doing is karpas. Karpas is celery. We take some type of vegetable and we dip it. What we're doing now is we're doing something unusual so that the child will ask us, what are you doing? Our goal is to make the child aware that things are different tonight. And this is being done simply for that purpose. We take the karpas, it's as though we're starting the meal. The child looks and says, hey, what are you doing? You didn't make hamotzi yet. You have the bread here. You finished kiddush after kiddush. You always make hamotzi. How come tonight you're dipping the parsley or the celery or the pepper and salt water, and it's as though we're starting the meal? But because we're going to dip it in water, we wash our hands beforehand. Always after kiddush, we wash our hands and make a blessing al netilat yadayim. Tonight we won't make a blessing on Netilat Yadayim because we're not about to start the meal. We're only washing our hands for the dipping of the vegetable in salt water. Yachatz, next thing we're going to do, the child is accustomed that after you make kiddush, you cut open the bread and you give out pieces of bread. Tonight, we're going to break the matzah and put away part of it. And the child's going to go, hey, but you didn't give us any. Why are you putting it away? And we're going to say, oh, we're putting it away because once upon a time we were poor people and then we never knew what tomorrow would bring. So we'd always save bread for tomorrow. We wouldn't start a meal without making sure we had some for tomorrow. So we're putting away this part, what we call afikoman, for later. We'll see as the night goes on. And then we start magid. We start telling over the whole story of the Seder. We finish the story of the Seder. We go to the meal. We wash our hands. Urchatz, we wash our hands for the meal. Motzi, we make a blessing of amotzi. Matzah, we make the blessing of eating the matzah. Maror, then we eat the maror. The maror is either horseradish or lettuce. We have 5 species of maror. At our table, we will have 2 samples. Korech, we make a sandwich of the matzah and the maror to commemorate the way they'd make these sandwiches in the days of the temple. Shulchan Orech, we have the meal. Tzofun, we take out that hidden piece of matzah at the end of the meal. Barech, we bench. Hallel, we give songs of praise. And Nirtzah, we ask that our Seder should be accepted favorably before Hashem. So that's an outline of what we're doing tonight. Now, what are we preparing for the Seder? So aside from all the scrumptious meat that you guys prepared for tonight, you should call for everyone who made a kugel and everyone who made a dish of meat or chicken or who knows what you're serving. And if you didn't, I guess we'll have to eat matzah at our model Seder, but at the real Seder, I hope you'll have real food. In addition to all that, we have a few things we need. We need grape juice for our 4 cups. We need cups to drink the grape juice in. Ideally, you should each have a nice cup, a nice goblet. If you don't, Bezrat Hashem, over time you will get one. We have plastic cups for you for tonight. Next, we... Shmuel, you want someone to take over? You doing okay?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Okay. So what Shmuel is doing is he's grinding our horseradish so that we will be able to eat that in our maror. Now, the Talmud says that when you eat maror straight, it can be unhealthy for you. So the Talmud says, dip the maror in charoset. What is charoset? So different congregations have different traditions. It says in Halacha, you mix the fruits that the Jewish people are compared to. So I will teach you a secret formula for making charoset. Anyone who tastes it, afterwards the guys gobble it down the whole Seder, and they all want to make more. So I will now show you our secret formula for making charoset. Number one, we have bashed up dates. I didn't have a chance to bash up dates today, so I was lazy, and I asked Mr. Svensson to go and buy for us date spread. And as always, with a smile, Mr. Svensson ran and got us the best date spread. Do you mind passing me a bowl, please? And if you could please pass me a spoon from that. Because now, we are going to mix.
Not Silana, date spread.
It's not Silana. It's date spread. Now, it's very hard to find kosher for Passover date spread. So, some years you can, and some years it's harder. This is not kosher with Pesach. But we won't tell anyone. This is just a fake Seder. You guys are sitting here with cell phones on. You have recorders recording all this. Okay, so we put in ground up apples. Thank you. Who peeled the apples?
He peeled.
Thank you. You ground the apples. Do you mind washing that? If you wash it just after you ground, it's easy to wash. That, yeah, just wash it out, and that way it'll be easy. We're waiting for you.
What is
who washed the apples? You washed the apples. Thank you very much. Who bought the apples? That was Ronin. It is important as part of our preparation for the Seder to thank the people who helped. To say thank you to your wives who worked really hard to prepare the Seder. To say thank you to your hosts. To say a thank you that they understand you really appreciate the work they went to. There's a South African custom that after you do Bedikas Chametz, you sing Eshes Chayil to thank the wife for all her hard work. So, what we do is we have ground apples, that's ingredient number one. We have ground walnuts, that's ingredient number zwei, number two.
That's what that is, ground walnuts.
Yes, this is ground walnuts. We have date spread. Now I have a question for you. What among this are you allowed to eat? Before I mix everything in. Because we'll make one that's yours. Okay, so you, no problem, so don't answer, I'm sorry. Don't answer me, leave it. You'll make your own concoction, okay? We have all the ingredients, you'll make your own haroset that works for you. Okay?
This is fine.
Okay.
I'm just a little careful on this.
Are you back? Okay. So what we have so far is ground apples, I apologize. Ground apples, ground walnuts, and if you guys can pass me a clean spoon, we will add the date spread, and you can mix it. Toda rabba. So this is our haroset, and we will add wine or grape juice to this mix. And yes, sir.
Can we eat this at any time of the year?
You can. However, on the eve of Pesach, it's better not to. It's supposed to be part of the excitement of the Seder, just like you're not supposed to eat matzah on the eve of Pesach, so that it'll be exciting for the Seder. So too, you're not supposed to eat haroset on the eve of the Seder. Leave it exciting for the Seder. So now, we should add some grape juice. Do we have wine or just grape juice? And we mix it. So, you guys can mix.
I'm just advised.
You're 100% right. I should have been more considerate. I'm sorry.
Wine or grape juice?
I'll hold this for you. I can't serve forever.
I hope you won't.
I'm just joking.
And then you can mix this.
No, really, really. Okay.
And now later on, we will add more grape juice to these mixes.
Rough.
You have a spoon? Okay.
Why
yes, sir.
Really, it's okay.
This haroset can be like any recipe, or is there like a...
Different communities have different traditions.
But is there an halachic definition of that?
I'm unaware of the halachic definition. There are different traditions brought down.
You want to be dipping chocolate spread, can you?
No. That for sure not. I said there are traditions. I didn't say you could make up what you do.
I don't know.
Okay. So, we have our haroset, which you guys helped prepare. We have our moro. Wow! Who's the powerhouse who did all this? Shmuel, where'd he go?
Probably wash his hands.
Oh, Yeshakah, Shmuel. Usually we divide it among four or five people. You did it all yourself. Okay, so we have our maror. We said there are five species of maror mentioned in the Mishnah. We have lettuce as maror, and we have also this. You brought eggs, right? Yitzchak, you brought eggs?
Yes.
Okay, so now we will do one more experiment before we start our Seder, because we said our goal is to learn the halachot. So when we have a mitzvah to eat something, so our mitzvah is, the Torah says, eat matzah, for example. So that by definition means eat the volume of a kezait, the volume of an olive, b'chadei achilat pras, in the time you would take to eat half a loaf. Half a loaf is about 8 olives, right? But you have to eat an olive's worth of matzah in the time it would take you to eat 8 olives worth of bread. That's the definition of eat matzah by halacha. So you don't have to eat like a madman, right? Eat nicely, comfortably, pleasantly, fine. However, we want to know how much matzah do I have to eat? How much matzah is considered a kezias? So the Gemara, when it gives you us measurements, The Gemara, in a few places, gives us, let's say, the measurement of a mikvah. It gives us the measurement of different things we need, like how much volume dough do you have to make in order to be chayv to take off challah to give to the kohen. So we have a few places where the Gemara gives us the measurements of area and the measurements of volume. So if we take the measurements, the Gemara tells us what size room is a kosher mikveh. And it gives us the measurements how you can measure that room. Then the Gemara says, and that's equal to such and such volume of eggs. Our problem is that about 800 years ago, the rabbis noticed that when you take the volume of eggs and you take the area by size, the volume of eggs is half the size of the area by size. So the rabbis said, hey, what's going on here? So there's a letter one rabbi wrote to Rav Yosef Karo, and he said, this is what we found. What should we do? What size mikveh should we make? So Rav Yosef Karo writes back. He says, I don't know what's going on by you. By me, I don't have this problem, Rav Yosef Karo writes. By me, it matches. But if this is what goes on by you, so then you have to go with the larger volume. You have to assume that your eggs have gotten smaller, your olives have gotten smaller. You have to go with the larger size. Now, what we have in Talmud is we have this description that the size of an egg is twice the size of an olive. Okay, if you look at today's, the Gemara says they were talking about these big olives, not these little olives we buy in a can that have been already processed. If you go to the marketplace and you see nice size olives, you see the average size egg, you see that it's pretty close, right? An egg is twice the size of an olive. Okay, so I want to know how much matzah do I have to eat on the Seder night? So if I were just to take the dry halacha, what it says in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch, so then I have to eat the size of an olive. That's not a lot of matzah, right? However, because we're not sure if maybe our olives got smaller and our eggs got smaller, because again, the Gemara's comparison ends up being twice, one is twice the size of the other. So when possible, we eat two olives worth of matzah because we say maybe our olives got smaller. So whenever we can, that's what's commonly known as the shiur chazanish, the volume of the chazanish. So what we want to know tonight is what is the size of our egg. Because when we know what is the size of an egg, from there we will be able to deduce everything we need to know. We know that a kezayit is half an egg. We know that how much wine, how much grape juice am I supposed to have in my cup in order to make a blessing. How much drink do I have to drink in order to be obligated to make an after blessing? The answer is a revius. A revius is an egg and a half. So whenever I know the baseline of what the size of an egg is, from there, I will be able to deduce everything else I need to know for the Seder night and for halachos, for Yom Kippur laws, for every time I make a blessing, how much do I have to eat in order to make an after blessing? I showed you guys on the pepper. So our baseline is, our basic assumption is that the olives did not change. The eggs did not change. And if you eat the size of an olive, that you know about the size of an olive, which means, let's see on these peppers, if I were to take, you cut them really small. You didn't cut them in half, you cut them into thirds. Okay, so this is not the size of an olive. This is getting close, but it's still not the size of an olive. But this is already much closer, almost the size of an olive. Now I've hit the size of an olive, right? Okay? If I want to know how many pieces of pepper do I have to eat in order to make an after blessing, I have my answer. I want to know how many crackers do I have to eat in order to make an after blessing, I have my answer. How much matzah is the minimum I really must eat, I have my answer. But matzah is biblical. So on matzah we push ourselves. We say I would much rather eat more matzah, because I do have that opinion that says that the olives were bigger, and I eat the larger size of a matzah, the larger opinion of eating matzah. Now, we will begin by doing the following experiment to see the size of our eggs. Now, can I see our eggs? Where are our eggs? It's like, where are they? Yes. Show me your eggs. I believe the eggs that come home are small. I don't believe they are large. I don't believe they are the average egg. I believe the Mahon skimped and bought cheap small eggs. And when we estimate the size of an egg, we need to buy a large egg. Now, how do we find out how big an egg is. So most of you probably learned displacement. The way I learned it in science class, what's the way we learned it in science class? They told us, take a big container, take a cup, fill the cup with water till the top all the way, then stick in your egg. The water that overflows, that's the water, that's the size, the volume of an egg. But Rashi had a different way of measuring displacement. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, you take two cups that are the same size. Or Rashi says it differently. Rashi says, take a cup, fill it to the top, then pour out its content into another cup. Now put your egg inside the cup and pour back the water as much as you can till the top. Whatever water's left in your other cup, that's the water, that's the size. That's Rashi's way of measuring displacement. Much more neat. Yeah, that's what Rashi says. Rashi, when he describes how to measure the size of an egg, Rashi says, fill a cup all the way to the top, pour it into cup B. Now put your egg into cup A and pour back the water. Till the top, whatever water is left in cup B is the size. It's a neat way, right? That's how Rashi says, measure displacement. Now you know the size of your egg. So, every one of you will do this tonight. We brought cups. Everyone should take... You don't need two cups the same size. Not, you know, Rashi's method, right? Go fill up your waters, grab an egg, measure it, and see the size of an egg. Now remember, these are small eggs. But I want us to have a cup with the volumes. You need two cups, right? But they don't have to be the same size. But I want you... every person should come back here with the size of an egg. How much water was displaced by the egg? If you didn't understand what I described, then ask your friend and see if he understood. And we will discuss in a minute the halachic ramifications of that measurement. So every person should please go fill up your water, grab an egg, do the experiment, and come back with just a cup with the amount of water that's the size of an egg. Baruch haba. What's your name?
Thank you. David.
You're David? Shalom, David.